What's good, everybody, and welcome to Body Bag Podcast. I'm Chris Thomas, and with me, as always, Brooke Ryder Dave.
How are we doing, everybody?
Just stopped myself from making what might have been potentially a problematic opening.
Yeah.
Just having a little bit of fun over here, finding out that we've done this for like going on 3 years, and now I'm just finding out that Dave is part Native American, and he's finding out that I'm part Filipino.
Yeah.
not enough to notice.
No.
But enough to warrant saying it out loud.
Yeah.
But y'all aren't here for that. Y'all are here for this versus battle.
This versus battle.
Or Chris needs this win battle.
Oh, man.
So
I would call this the Battle of Mid.
The Battle of Mid, you say?
Because that's how I felt about both of these movies.
I certainly feel that way more so about one of them.
There's definitely one that was better than the other.
Now, this is
like, there's one that's mid, and then there's one that's like, oof.
All right, so
that was a rough one.
Now, this will be interesting, because now you gave me one, because you've been going on a roll lately and giving me ones that you have not seen.
Yep, and that strategy got me to a 2-0 lead.
And I've been giving you ones that I more so wanted you to just kind of see. Like Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer. I didn't think it was going to win me, but I still wanted you to see it anyway.
Yeah.
And I forget what we started off with.
I think you gave Slither, and I gave her, what was it?
It was Alien Stuff, and you gave me Event Horizon.
Event Horizon, there you go.
See, that was another one where it was like, Slither, I haven't heard about that movie in a long time. I wonder if they've seen it. So
that was the one movie I've seen that I chose was
her. I've been giving you movies that I haven't seen, because I'm kind of gambling too, because I'm giving you movies that I haven't seen in many, many, many years.
Yeah.
And seeing if they hold up. So
both
of our gambles definitely been weighing heavily in your favor. But
yeah.
Do you have a preference of who goes first or second?
I'm good either way.
All right. Why don't you get us kicked off then? I think I started off last time. Why don't you get us kicked off?
All right. So
Jacob's Ladder.
All right. Yeah, you chose Jacob's Ladder, which is a 1990s. It actually came out in 1990.
Yep.
Psychological horror, and quick review basically follows a guy after Vietnam, and he's just dealing with shit.
Yeah, he's not having a good time after Vietnam.
Yeah. And then, so the opening scene, it opens up with them in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And I know it does, but every time I think about the opening scene of this movie, I think about it with Fortunate Son's playing.
I think that's just because it's Vietnam. You can't not have that song playing in the back of your mind when you see Vietnam.
They don't play it in the movie, but when I think about that scene, that song.
You just hear the guitar.
Just hear the
dong ding. That's just because, yes, that's any Vietnam movie that always plays in the back of my mind, too.
That's a good song, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're in Vietnam, and, you know, they're army soldiers. They're bullshitting and whatnot. Just kind of
got them on an in-between period.
Yeah, kind of just relax and bullshit. And then one of them starts freaking out because they think they see something, and they all start shooting and fighting, and
chaos ensues.
Our main character, Tim Robbins, he gets stabbed, and he's laying there.
Yeah, Andy Dufresne gets stabbed.
He's laying there, and next to him, he jumps up awake, and he's in a subway in New York City. Fell asleep on the subway, and his post office uniform, because he now works for the post office, which I think is a very good touch. Because I don't know if a lot of people know this, but if you're a veteran, the post office, they hire mostly veterans.
I did know that, and that was a pretty good, cool little thing.
And, like, your time in the post office will go on, like, your service time towards retirement, so.
Yeah, so that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool that they added that little thing.
Yeah. And he wakes up, and he tries to ask this old lady who's just kind of staring ahead, not even paying attention, if he's passed the stop already. Yeah, she's just...
Doesn't say anything.
Nothing. He's like, okay. And then he sees this homeless guy, and then he thinks he sees like a tentacle sticking out of him.
That's weird.
He freaks out, and then it just stops. He gets off the subway. The exits are locked, so he has to jump across the subway. He jumps the tracks, almost gets hit by a train. And then after that, he gets out of the subway, heads home. And he gets to his apartment that he lives at with his girlfriend.
Jezebel. Oh, which, have you seen her in anything before?
No.
Because I've only ever seen her in one other thing, and that was in the first Rush Hour.
She was a little okay.
She was the one that Chris Tucker had the hots for.
Okay. And he basically wakes her up because he bumps into furniture because she's moving things around. And he talks to her about his day and whatnot. And it goes to the next morning where she wakes him up and she's like, some kid dropped these off for you. It's pictures of his ex-wife and his kids.
one of whom is very familiar looking.
Yeah.
I completely forgot that Macaulay Culkin was in this.
And he looks at the picture, he sees a picture of one of his sons that actually passed away.
That's Culkin.
Played by Macaulay Culkin, yeah. And I thought it was funny. She's like, yeah, why can't you learn the name of my kid? She's like, I don't care.
I'm like, why is this chick so mean?
Yeah. Like, Jezebel, this thing is, she's very hot and cold towards him.
Like, she's about to rip up his photos because he's looking at the picture of Gabe and is making him cry. Obviously, yeah. it's his dead son who died before Vietnam.
She's like, I don't like things that make you cry.
Like, I don't like you. I don't like people ripping up my things. So
right. And then he goes about his day. He's going about his day, going on his post office route. A car tries to run him down.
Just out of nowhere, just tries to run him down.
And the people he sees in the car aren't like normal people. They look like demons.
Yeah, faceless demon-looking kind of stuff.
Yeah, so he, of course, like anybody, he freaks out and goes to see his, like, psychiatrist, doctor, and the nurse on charge was like, that person doesn't exist. He's like, yes, he does.
Yeah, no. He goes to the doctor, he's like, I've been going here for years.
Yeah, and she's like, he doesn't exist. So he basically tries to, like, break in and find the doctor's office. Finds this little group therapy session thing going on. Then,
basically, he finds out that his doctor is dead.
Yeah, doctor died in a car explosion. And so, that night, Jacob goes to a party.
So this would be in the 70s, I believe, yeah? This is like 75, I believe.
Yeah, if it's shortly after Vietnam, it would be in the 70s.
So I believe the wiki says that this is going on in 1975. Just in case anybody's wondering, like, how far, like, after Vietnam this is.
Yeah, and basically, while he's there, Jacob's having a good time, and he's talking with this one girl, and she does a palm reading for him, and she's reading his palm, and she's like, you're already dead.
He's like, that's weird. Yeah, well, that's obviously weird. I'm not. I mean, I'm talking to you.
Yeah, and so he goes back downstairs, starts dancing with people, and they start having hallucinations. He's under attack. He starts freaking out and basically just about takes him home, and his temperature is so high it reaches the highest point of one of those old school thermostats that would, you know, kind of have the mercury in them and stuff. Yeah.
Like, dude's about to die.
Yeah. So she throws him in a bathtub with a bunch of ice, and then Jacob wakes up. And now this movie kind of throws you off because when he wakes up, he's with his ex-wife.
Yeah, Sarah.
Sarah, and he's like, yeah, I just had the weirdest dream. You know, I was dating Jezebel from the post office. It was so weird. Yeah.
I dreamt I was on fire and the ice was burning me.
Yeah, and his son Gabe's alive.
He comes in the room.
Yeah, and then has some more flashbacks from Vietnam.
If this sounds like kind of jumpy, it's because this movie jumps around a lot.
It's hard to keep up with the times. I had to rewind a couple of times because I'm like, did I miss something? Or yeah,
it's a part of the. It makes sense at the end, but this movie does jump around between different things going on.
Yeah,
like one minute he's in Vietnam. One minute he's with his fiance, or his wife Sarah. Right. Another instance he's with his girlfriend Jezebel. It's all out of order.
Yeah, and you're trying to figure out what's going on, what's real. Wakes up again, and just feels like, you know, you melted, like, I think she said 50-something pounds of ice in 6 hours, because he was so hot.
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like 50 something pounds in 6 or 7 hours, 8 hours. Yeah. Like that. Yeah.
It's a short time fit, but yeah. And basically, while he was contacted by one of his old platoon mates.
Yep.
So he meets him up at a bar, and he realizes his platoon mate's seeing the same things as him, basically.
Yeah, he's not going crazy. It's yeah. Like, because throughout this movie, remember, Tim Robb and Jacob has been seeing people or seeing things that look like demons.
Yeah, really feeling like he's going crazy out of his mind. And then after the bars are leaving, his old platoon mate gets in his car. His car explodes.
Just like the doctor's.
Yeah, just like the doctor.
One who died that... They said it was a car accident, and it's a car accident. What happened? It just exploded. That doesn't sound like an accident. It just exploded.
Right. And then they go... Then they're at, you know, the funeral for the platoon mate that just died, and he's talking with a bunch of other people from his old platoon. Mm-hmm. And they all realize they're all kind of messed up in the way, and they're seeing things and everything like that.
Something happened.
Yeah, so they felt like the army did something to them. So they go to a lawyer, played by none other than Jason Alexander.
Hey.
Hey. And they're like...
George!
Yeah. They're like, hey, we want to do the suit against the army. First he's like, And then they talk him into it. He's like, alright, I'll look into it. And then he gets a call back from the lawyer, and he's like... He misses it, but he gets a message that he's not taking the... They don't have a case because all his platoon mates dropped out.
Yeah, for quote-unquote psychological reasons.
Yeah. And he is pissed off, so... He goes to find the lawyer. He's like, what the hell? No, we have a case. He's like, no, I looked in your file. You were never in Vietnam. You were doing a training exercise in Thailand. You guys were all discharged from that.
He's like, so now it's like, no, this point, nobody knows what's going on, like, including the audience. Like,
yeah, you're just like, okay, all right. So he leaves, and then he's abducted in a car by these guys in the suits. And Tim Robbins, he don't play like that, so he fights his way out of the car.
He's had to face the sisters in Shawshank. He can handle these guys.
Yeah, ends up falling out of the car, landing on a curb and getting paralyzed.
Ow.
Just to look up at Santa to get robbed by him. It's one of those, one of those people that rings the bell during Christmas time for donations.
Oh, Salvation Army?
Salvation Army, there it is. One of those Santas that was sitting on the corner. He robs him. He goes to the hospital, they're like, I don't know who this guy is, and while he's being wheeled through this hospital, he starts really hallucinating.
Yeah, you don't want to be strapped down in a hospital and start hallucinating.
Yeah, like, he basically thinks his thing's running over body parts, he sees people crawling on top of the roof looking down at him.
Very Silent Hilly.
Yeah, it's a really twisted scene. And... Basically, I forgot the exact word. It's something like, yeah. It's something like, I don't belong here. And the doctor's like, yes, you do, because you're dead already.
You're dead already.
Yeah. And he's like, no, call my chiropractor. Yeah.
That's such a funny thing. I'm not dead. Call my chiropractor.
Yeah.
Who you see at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, he visits him at the beginning of the movie, but yeah.
He's kind of like a... He's kind of like a friend who's his chiropractor. They have friendly back and forth when he's
his back. And then his chiropractor barges in.
You're like,
takes him
fuck?
To his office. Somehow feels him. And Tyrone's all good now.
Yeah. I mean, he's a chiropractor, dude. This is what he's trained for.
Yeah. And then he was talking about, you know, being scared to die or whatever. And he says...
I have the quote here.
Yeah.
Now, I'll say, regardless of how you feel about this, I do like this quote.
Yeah.
Because Jacob is scared. He thinks he's dying, and he's scared, and he's seen because he's been seeing demons all over the place. And his chiropractor
quotes 14th century Christian mystic Meister Eckhart.
Yeah,
is who originally said this. Yeah,
he says the only thing that burns in hell is the part of you that won't let go of life. Your memories, your attachments, they burn them all away, but they're not punishing you. They're freeing your soul. So if you're frightened and dying, you're holding on. You see devils tearing your life away. But if you've made your peace, then the devils are really angels freeing you from the earth. Now, I like that. I like that as a sentiment.
That is a very nice sentiment, yeah.
Which is pretty much the crux of the movie. So, which, wrapping up here.
Yeah. And then after this, Jacob is approached by a guy who... like, hey, so I know what happened to you. Basically, I used to make LSD. They made me make drugs for the army. I made a drug that, you know, made you guys straight killers, and you guys were supposed to be the meanest fighting force ever.
But we had to test it.
Yeah, but so instead of killing the enemy, you guys all killed each other.
Yeah, they didn't tell them that they slipped them some of this, like, drugs that were supposed to make them, like, good fighters, but then they just basically turned into homicidal maniacs.
Yeah. And,
which, by the way, the name of the drug was called Ladder.
Yeah, Ladder. And then after this, Jacob just kind of gets in the cabin and says, take me home. And it takes him to his old place that he had with his ex-wife.
Yep, and Gabe's there.
When he's there, he's greeted by his dead son, Gabe, who kind of brings him upstairs and takes him to his peace. He's at peace now. And then flashes back to Vietnam, where the doctor's like, he flatlined. And you find out, oh, Jacob was still in Vietnam this entire time.
This was all going through his mind as he was struggling to stay alive.
Yeah. Like that quote, like, you know, in your last second you see your life flash before your eyes.
Kind of deal.
Yeah.
He was basically, he saw demons until he made his peace.
Exactly.
And they basically said he looked peaceful as he
passed away. As he was gone, yeah. All right. Jacob's Ladder.
Jacob's Ladder. So, it is a, well, first off, this is also what you get. He said this is the thing of, this is the episode of Mid, but that's kind of what you get with psychological horror, because you kind of roll the dice with psychological horror movies.
Yeah.
But go ahead, man.
All right, so.
Your thoughts.
So, I mean, it was okay. It wasn't like a terrible movie or anything.
I
thought the effects were pretty good.
For 1990.
Yeah.
It definitely looked like a couple of Linkin Park videos. I saw when they did that.
Yeah.
You've seen that effect that they have on the demons that they basically speed it up to make it look like the faces like moving all jittery. I've seen that in a lot of 90s music videos, especially like grunge music videos.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's not going to be one of my favorite movies ever, but...
I needed something, you know, for psychological horror. Yeah. And that was one that I hadn't seen long enough that I thought, well, it is a movie that... Well, it's good enough that it got remade, so...
I've never seen the remake either.
So I figured we should at least talk about the original.
Yeah. I mean... I feel like it's one of those movies that I might have to watch a couple more times to fully grasp everything.
I can understand people not liking it because the way it jumps around, if that kind of storytelling bothers you, I can understand that.
That doesn't bother me that much.
Not you specifically, I just mean like audiences.
There's a lot of people, because it can be confusing, but that's also the point of this movie, though.
Go ahead.
You're not really supposed to understand everything that's going on at the time.
Yeah, so you're basically experiencing this as he's experiencing it.
Exactly.
Was there anything, instead of like a kill, this one in particular didn't have like a real kill of the movie, but did you have a scene in particular that you thought, well, that was interesting? Maybe a shot or a... If not, that's cool.
The scene where they try to run him down with the car. Because his day goes from being perfectly average, normal, seems like he's having a pretty good day, to like super weird in a matter of seconds.
I will say that is something that plays in this movie's benefit, is that at least there's an action beat every so often that will keep you at least awake.
Yeah.
It's not like boring, like Soul Survivor. Stuff will happen in this, at least.
Yeah, there's things happening here.
In fact, I think that's the movie that... Because I remember I had mentioned Jacob's Ladder one time in a review and said it feels like it was trying to be like Jacob's Ladder.
Yeah, I think that was probably the one.
I think that was the one.
Because it's very much the same...
Exact plot of the same kind of plot. But I think this one at least does it better. It at least keeps you interested. And Soul Survivor was just fucking boring.
So fucking boring. God damn, that movie's terrible. But yeah, so that was Jacob's Ladder. So now let's give it some scores.
All right, let me bust open my score thing here. Okay.
All right, so for technicals, for being a 1990s movie, we'll give it a 7.
I gave it a 7.1. I'm starting to do like point to like the littlest points, but 7.1, pretty much the same, yeah.
Yeah, no, making it hard on my math here.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah.
Sometimes a 7.1 gets across something better than a 7.0. So.
Yeah. All right. And then story. It's a decent story. But you know, it is also kind of a mess at times. Well.
I understand, because you're trying to be like, I get it, but that's the point of it. But at the same time, that's why I get what you mean.
Yeah, like, so I'm going to go 5.5 on the story.
Okay. I went 6.7 on the story, because I like the story, and I thought it is told well, and I personally don't mind the jumping around. I personally... have fun with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I did say I didn't go any higher just because I was like, well, I can understand if people don't like how that jumps around.
Yeah.
I said it's longer than Speak No Evil, but there were still action beats to keep it interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with that score.
Yeah, and on enjoyment. It was an okay movie.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go out of my way to watch it again. But if someone has it on, I'm not going to be like, hey, turn that shit off.
Or you wouldn't groan if somebody was watching it.
So I would give it a 5.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I particularly enjoy it. It's not my most favorite psychological horror. And it's also one of those that... I'm going to give a 6.5 to.
Okay.
I like it, but like you said, I'm not going to go out of my way to watch it. But I do appreciate the story that it told, and the jumping around didn't bug me so much.
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, any movie made in the 90s is also going to feel nostalgic to me, so.
That's true.
Because I just love that the feel of it, so.
Alright, so your overall score was a 20.3 out of 30. Mine was an 18 out of 30. For the average score being a 19.15 out of 30.
Okay.
That's a pretty good score.
That's a pretty good score.
Yeah.
Now it's time for mine. Now this is where it's going to get interesting.
Yeah.
So you rolled the dice on this one and gave me Speak No Evil. Now, before giving me this one, did you know anything about it?
Like, I saw people clamoring about how this was one of the better movies of 2022. Like, I've seen some things on the internet about this being a really good movie.
Uh-huh.
obviously that was clickbait.
I was terrified because I got it mixed up and thought that you told me. I got it mixed up with a movie called Where Evil Lurks, which was the big movie of 2023 that came out, like a sleeper hit.
Which is actually really good, but also super hard to watch.
So when I remember people saying, this is like one of the best horror movies. So it didn't register until later when I was like, wait a second, I think that's the movie he gave me. Fuck, that's supposed to be really good. Yeah. But then I found out, oh no, Speak No Evil.
Yeah. I should have went See No Evil, even though that sounds psychological horror. I'd have enjoyed watching that more and more.
I was actually talking about that movie the next day. So, all right, so you're letting some stuff slip. I'm guessing you didn't care for this. But why don't we talk about that at the end?
All right, yeah.
So, I guess quick... Hey, is that the train?
The train's here.
Train is here. I was terrified. The train is here, everybody.
Yeah.
He knew that I was... He woke up just in time for me to get into Speak No Evil.
Exactly.
So, I feel like... Oh, a quick one-sentence sum up. A couple befriends another couple while vacationing in Europe and then get invited back to their little house as a little vacation. And then things start acting weird.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have a couple, Bjorn and Luis, I believe is her name.
Yeah.
And they have a daughter, Agnes. They're a Danish family, or a Dutch family.
They're Danish.
They're Danish, and they're vacationing in Italy.
Yeah.
They have their daughter, Agnes, and the first 10 minutes of this movie is basically them socializing. I don't know if it was a specific event they're there for, but...
They're just vacationing in Tuscany.
They're just vacationing.
Yeah.
Socializing.
Or on holiday for our international listeners.
Yes. And Bjorn's just trying to enjoy some time at his villa with his family. And they befriend a couple, Patrick and Karen, and their young son, Abel, that they had met at the party. They met him the next day.
They are the Dutch couple.
They are the Dutch couple.
Yeah.
So we have the Danish family, who is Bjorn and Luis and Agnes, and the Dutch family, who is Patrick and Karen with their son, Abel.
Yes.
So I wrote a little star on this one because I said, you know, because they felt like rich people because they're vacationing in Tuscany. And I said, you know, what's funny about a group of rich, because at this point I thought something's going to go wrong in Italy.
Yeah.
I said, so what's funny about rich people in horror movies is that you can pretty much do anything you want to them and the audience will all just kind of instinctively think they kind of deserve it anyway, just because they're rich.
I don't think they're rich. I think they're upper middle class.
First 10 minutes, I thought they were rich.
Yeah, but being from like Danish and being from where they're from, vacationing in Italy is a lot cheaper for them than it would be for us.
Oh, I understand that as the movie went on, but in the first 10 minutes, I just thought, oh, it's a bunch of rich people together and there's something going to happen.
Yeah.
That was just my initial thought.
Right.
So, after their Italy vacation, the couple goes home, Bjorn and Luis. They go home, and at some point, I don't know how much time it's passed, but they get a letter from the couple that they had met.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, we hit it off with you guys. We'd love to hang out. We have our son, roughly the same age as your daughter. Why don't you guys come on over? Was it to the Netherlands?
Yeah.
Come over here to our place here in the Netherlands and kind of just hang out for a little bit.
Yeah.
And they're like, after a little bit of coaxing, they're like, well, you know what? It's good to meet new people from other countries. Well, let's go meet these people.
Yeah.
So they bring their daughter and they go. I said, I wish I had drop everything and go on vacation money.
Right.
I specifically wrote that. All right.
Yeah.
So they get there. First couple days are fine. Our first 2 days are fine.
I don't even say it's the first 2 days. I feel like it was just the first like night was okay for them.
Well, it was the first night, but then in the daytime, it was still somewhat okay. It was just drinks, pleasantries. However, there is like a lingering feeling of just, well, you're watching a horror movie, so you know that something's, you know, brewing.
Yeah, and the Dutch was kind of like slowly like pushing like social norm what's acceptable to this couple.
Yeah, they're getting like too familiar, like acting.
Yeah, they're like, testing like, on what. Yeah.
Yeah, like at one point they say something about when she says she's a vegetarian, and then they keep serving meat even though she's like vegetarian, and one of the nights they're like going out for drinks, and then they start making out like in the corners, like they're acting like they've known them for like years and years, but they just met these people.
Yeah,
and they've also noticed Bjorn and Luis also noticed they're acting particularly cold towards their son. At first it's nothing much, it's just, you know, at one night they hear the child like moaning in the bedroom, and they said, oh, are you gonna go see him? And they said, oh no, it's he has a condition, he doesn't have a tongue, he was born without a tongue, they said. And he just kind of has to work through it himself.
Yeah.
So, you know, as a foreigner in a stranger's house, you're like, okay, I mean, it's weird, but I mean, I guess it's they just
how
do things.
I parent, but all right, yeah.
They obviously, you know, I'm not going to come in here and tell them how to raise their kid.
Yeah.
So, now, all that sounds okay, but then night two comes along.
Yeah.
And now it starts getting a little weird. Uncomfortable dinner conversation, and I had mentioned Patrick and Karen go off and like make out in the corner, and it's like, okay, you guys were kind of normal earlier, and now you're just kind of acting too familiar. And they also make Bjorn pay for the drinks and meal.
Yeah.
Well, don't make him, but like trick him into paying for it.
Yeah.
And then Patrick drives home drunk.
Yeah.
All right. This is where it starts getting out of hand here.
Yeah.
They go back to the house. Patrick's been being a belligerent asshole for the past drive home. Luis wants to rinse off. She goes and rinses off, and she hears a door open. What the fuck is that? Turns out it's Patrick coming inside, using the bathroom.
Yeah, brushing his teeth while she's taking a shower.
While she's in the shower. That the kind of familiar I'm talking about. Like, you could get away with that from somebody who you've known since you've been, like, teenagers or lifelong friends. You could get away with something like that. But I've known you less than 24 hours, dude. Like, who?
Yeah, like, you couldn't even get away with that with, like, someone who's been, like, your lifelong friend.
Well, not if you're married. If you did
to their wife, even that's not okay.
No, that's not. I'm saying if that was a lifelong friend of yours, she probably wouldn't be like she'd probably be like, you know, not give a shit. If she was your lifelong friend and she wasn't married, but if you know what I mean when I say that.
Yeah.
That there's a difference between a stranger doing it and somebody you kind of know. You know.
Yeah.
What I mean? So. Which, and then I put after that, so sex time after that?
Yeah.
Weirdly, she goes back to her bed where Bjorn is, doesn't tell him about it.
No.
And then they start having sex.
Yeah.
Very weird.
Okay.
Okay. And their daughter starts
calling out for them
because she has to sleep in the same room as Abel, but she wants to sleep in mom and dad's room. Plus, you kind of get the feeling she probably does it. She's young enough that she does that anyway.
Yeah.
And they ignore her.
Yeah.
They just flat out ignore her. And Luis notices a silhouette like Patrick watching them.
Yeah.
Doesn't stop anything, though. They finish up.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, some time passes. Luis wakes up and is like, oh yeah, my daughter.
Yeah.
And then she can't find her. Goes to Patrick's room. He's passed out naked, drunk on the bed, and the daughter is lying next to him. So yeah, now time to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see that. You leave.
That's when you leave.
And that's and if you're the dad, you're lucky that's all you do. You don't like shank the guy who's butt naked laying in bed and your daughter's laying next to him.
Yeah.
She wakes up the husband, doesn't say anything, just says, "Wake up, we gotta go.
We're leaving now." Yeah.
This is the kind of stuff that makes this a frustrating watch.
Yeah.
Wakes and just says, "We gotta go." And he's like, "Okay, what? Okay." So they get in the car and they just drive.
And then they're
like, "Whoa, what a short movie."
And their daughter's like, "Hey, I forgot my rabbit."
Yo, fuck this rabbit.
The mom's like, "I don't care about that rabbit," which flips the tone from earlier in the movie, because while they're in Tuscany, daughter lost the rabbit and mom made dad.
Was willing to let her
run all around the city.
Was willing to let her husband get lost in Tuscany.
Yeah. But now she's like, "Screw that rabbit. Keep driving. We gotta
keep driving." But then the dad drives and he's like, "Fine, I'll turn around and go get the rabbit."
Like, he's like, "Screw this." He's like, "I'm gonna go back." Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you've been saying for the past 24 hours how you didn't even want to be here. This wife has been saying, and then you find your daughter sleeping next to a naked, passed out, drunk dude who you've been having issues with all night. You're not gonna turn around and go back there.
Yeah.
You like, and this has come from somebody who don't have kids.
Right, I would not be turning back. I'm like, "Hey,
like, I have enough sense to know.
Sorry, we'll get you a new rabbit. We'll get you a real rabbit. Get you a pet when you get home."
Oh, by the way, doll was there.
Yeah.
They turn around and they go back. Dad says, "I'm gonna go in and try to get the rabbit." While he's in there, daughter's like, "Oh, here it is." At that point, I was like, "Kid,
oh,
you're making it really hard for me not to hope you die." As harsh as that sounds.
Yeah, sure, faith's not good.
All right, so we'll get to that.
Yeah.
So they go back. Patrick and Karen talk about how it was all just a misunderstanding, everybody.
Yeah, and then they tell me, "Well, sorry, we don't have a big house like you do, and your daughter had to sleep in our son's room.
By the way, she was calling out for you. Where were you guys?"
Yeah. "And if you didn't like meat, just say you don't eat that."
Which she did. She's been saying she's a vegetarian since they met her.
Yeah.
So I said, and then I had to put a star next to this, and I said, these are grown-ass adults with a kid. It baffles me how grown adults can just be shamed into doing stuff they don't want to do. Because they were ready to leave. And
which is even basically the theme of this movie is...
The name of this movie should have been "You Should Have Left."
Yeah, but it's basically the such couple scene. How far can we push these two people?
Can we guilt and shame them?
How much can we get away with these people? Yeah, basically.
And look, so, they still came back.
Yeah, and so...
They stuck around.
Moms do some gardening while...
Which, by the way, even if all of what they said is true, what the fuck does that have to do with me waking up to find out my daughter sleeping next to your butt-ass naked self?
Yeah. Well, she was like, "Well, I grabbed her because she was crying and you weren't there." Making her feel like a bad mom.
That's what I'm saying. The guilt thing. I was like, you know what? Whatever.
I would have been like, "You know what? Well, your kid ain't got no tongue."
Or just like, let's say all that's true. Just be like, "You know what? I'm still not comfortable. We're leaving anyway."
Yeah.
Leaving anyway.
So, like, the moms are still very tense towards each other. Patrick and Bjorn go on a ride. Mm. Bond over music. It seems like their friendship was easily fixed.
Yeah, wow. This guy just kind of likes everything I like.
Yeah. And, you know, they talk about how, you know, Bjorn kind of feels repressed in his life. He's like, "Yeah, I just kind of work and go home, be a dad. That's it."
Yeah, take you know, $1,000 vacations in Tuscany. Oh,
yeah.
That's all my life is. You know, I'm out here in the Netherlands. You know, my life is awful.
Yeah, so he takes them to this, like, valley, and he's like, "Here, no one can hear you. Sometimes you just gotta scream it all out."
Which they do.
Yeah. They do. They go back. And so you're getting ready to have dinner or lunch or whatever. The mom cuts her finger, and Bourne's like, "Well, lucky there's a doctor in the house." And they're like, "What?" "Well, Patrick, in Tuscany, didn't you tell us you were a doctor?"
Yeah, Tuscany, Patrick apparently...
Another time, I would have left. And they're like, oh no, we lied to you.
This Patrick dude's a full of shit.
Patrick just kind of got intimidated by people who seem wealthy.
So I just lied about being a doctor is all.
Yeah. Okay, I would have been like, you know what? Thank you guys. But no, thank you. We're going to go.
Like, at this point, this is being cartoonish. Like, who is sticking around? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So, and no, they still stick around because they have no common sense. And
they have lunch, and then the kids have to show them their dance.
Yeah, kids have to say, hey, look, we did this dance, and
then this scene is rough.
Yes. You see Agnes putting on this little dance, and Abel is, like, just unenthusiastic. He's just sad. He's not doing it right. And Patrick is just, like, yelling and being god-awful, like, to this kid.
I understand it's how actor, but it's still rough to watch him be berated.
Yes, it's a hard watch.
Yeah.
If you don't like movies like Girl Next Door, don't watch this movie. Yeah. Just movies that involve kids being, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah, Patrick finally gets so enraged, he throws his mug at Abel.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Picard's like, yo, dude, what the fuck?
Dude, that is, like, not cool. You're sitting there, like, your kid is crying, you're throwing shit at him.
Yeah, and they're like, well, no, we're just doing things differently. He's like, they're just doing things differently when they're doing things that are right. This isn't right.
Then there's being psychopaths.
Yeah. Another time when they should have just been like, you know what? We're out. We're leaving.
We're out. Hey, sorry, Abel, but we're out.
Yeah.
So, okay, so some time has passed because they're going to go pack, right? Or do they decide they're going to just leave the next day?
They're gonna leave the next day. So it's at night, and Bjorn's kind of outside. He discovered that there's a cabin behind their house.
Well, it's not that he discovers that the door was left open and it was making noise, and he's like, what's that?
Yeah.
And he goes and he checks out this barn. He goes and walks in, and he goes inside, and he sees all these cameras and purses and souvenirs and things, and pictures of families.
Families, like, there's two parents, one kid.
Two parents and one kid. And in each of the pictures is Patrick and Karen, each with the kid from the previous family.
Yeah, so basically, he puts together, they've been killing the parents, taking the kid. And then he sees Abel in the pool. Drowned. He's dead.
Yeah, he just... Time to go.
Yeah, so he wakes
up. Not only time to go, but time to wake your wife up and tell her what's going on and let's go, right?
Yeah, once a breakdown of communication, because he doesn't tell his wife what happened.
You?
Just like she didn't tell him what happened with the daughter laying on the bed. She just said, we gotta leave, and he's like, hey, we gotta leave. He's driving, he sees a car following him, so he swerves off the road, gets stuck. And he's like, shit. Alright, well,
there's, you know what I wish would have happened right here?
What?
Dad, my bunny.
Shit. He's like, okay, you guys stay in this car. I'm going to go to this house over there.
This car breaks down.
Yeah. He thought Patrick was following. It wasn't him, but he swerved off the road and got stuck, basically. He's stuck on the side of the road. He goes, leaves his family, goes to this, like, house. No one tell him.
He starts going back to his car.
Yeah.
And Luis and Agnes aren't in there. Yeah. And he's, like, freaking out, like, where are you? Where are you? And then a car comes by. Who is it? It's Patrick with his wife and daughter in the car.
Yeah.
Thank God his wife called Patrick because they were in need of help.
Oh.
That's right.
Yeah. And he's like, just get in the car.
Yes, that's right. The wife called Patrick.
Yeah. And Picard's like, we're going back to your house, right?
Yeah, sure. Just get in the car.
Yeah.
Now, this last 10 minutes is a rough one.
Yeah.
So, obviously, they're not going back home.
Yeah.
they're sitting there. bless their heart, Bjorn, bless his heart, he thinks that he's pulling one over on them by saying, "We're going back to your place, right? Oh, yeah, thank you." Pretending like they don't know that they already know what they saw.
Yeah.
They pull and over to once, the side.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, when he pulled over to the side of the road, once again, Bjorn had a chance to escape. Patrick leaves the keys in the car.
Mm-hmm.
But Bjorn
didn't do it for some reason.
Being the pushover car that he is, just sits there.
Even though he's in the car with somebody who is a known child murderer and other people murderer.
He knows the fate that's going to befall him and his family.
But
he does nothing.
Doesn't do anything.
Yeah. And once he gets back in the car, he tries. He takes a swing at Patrick and then gets his ass whipped.
Gets his ass whipped, and then we see a guy come out of nowhere from another car.
Their family babysitter from a couple nights ago.
Yep.
Open the car door, start choking out Louisa.
Choking out Louisa.
Yeah,
and Agnes gets it the worst.
Yeah, and then the
they cut out
mother grabs Agnes and cuts out Agnes's tongue.
Yeah, Karen cuts out Agnes's tongue.
Yeah, and then they send Agnes with the babysitter and take Louisa and Bjorn to the ballet thing that Patrick took Bjorn to earlier. And they're like, they get there, he's like, "Take your clothes off." They do. They go down in there. And they just start chucking rocks at
him. And they stone him to death.
Yeah, and then they're like, "Why are you doing this?" And they said, "Because you allowed us to."
Somebody obviously saw strangers.
Yeah.
Okay. Why? Because you were home?
But that was the point of the movie, is they kept pushing them, seeing how much they'd get away with.
And they kept pushing them. So many instances where they could have
given them so many chances to leave, and they didn't because of, you know, social pressures and
being guilty. Stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. And just being pushovers. So they get stoned to death.
That's how it ends. Agnes is now the new faux child.
And
to lure other people in.
After they're stoned to death, you see another family on vacation. Then you see Patrick in a car, Karen with Agnes in the back seat. Speak no evil, yeah.
Now, it sounded like you were more antsy to say stuff about this than I was, so if you are chomping at the bit to say something.
This movie sucked.
I knew Tim Robbins was going to pull this one out for me.
Like, it's an hour and, 15 minutes of boring bullshit?
It's an hour and 37-minute movie, yeah.
For the final 15 minutes to give us something happening. Like, because the first hour and 15 minutes, it's a family vacationing with a weird family.
Well, in the first 10 minutes, you already know, okay, the Netherlands couple are obviously going to be evil or something, so let's go ahead and get to it. We know that's going to be the setup.
Yeah, like, and then holy shit, yeah.
And then when we see that they have an interest in the kid, or like, okay, they obviously have an interest in the kid, like, it's obvious, so let's have something happen. It's like, I don't get how we see it, but these parents don't.
Yeah. Like, it was an hour and 15 minutes of boring watch. I was bored.
It was more uncomfortable. It was an uncomfortable watch because you just know it's like, there's...
It is uncomfortable, but it's like, being bored and uncomfortable is not something you want to do for an hour and 15 minutes.
No, what I mean by... It's like being the fifth person... Like in a group of like two couples or something like that, and everything is like they're starting to argue, and it's like, all right, this is getting uncomfortable. You don't want to be in the middle of that. That's uncomfortable.
Yeah,
I mean
that. Yeah,
but uncomfortable doesn't really translate into scary for me.
Yeah,
and all right. So
yeah, I chose stinker.
I'm glad that you feel the same way.
You didn't like it either?
I hated this movie.
Yeah, I was like, Chris isn't going to really like this, or he absolutely hates this.
I hated this movie.
Yeah.
I got notes on the... Oh, no, what is it? Oh, this is what I said on the ending. I said, I've seen my fair share of things like my torture porns and over the top gore, but those are in a genre all their own. Personally, I don't like. I don't find torturing kids scary.
I just
find it more as a cheap gimmick because I'm supposed to feel scared for the kid.
Yeah, it's unnecessary.
Seeing the kid like get bullied by his quote unquote parents, and then Agnes getting her tongue cut out. I'm not scared or anything, but I just feel like you added that in there for me to feel something just because it's a kid. You know what I mean?
I might have liked the movie a little bit better if they just had the babysitter grab Agnes.
That's what I was thinking.
Just grab her and take her and not show her getting her tongue cut out.
If you just see like a baguette put over the kid's head and then like
boom.
Boom.
She's getting taken away while, you know, Luis is getting choked out and Patrick's given the
I would have found that more disturbing than this tongue cutting scene.
Yeah.
You just have her kicking and screaming and getting hauled away and put a bag over her head and then like she drives off. That's to me is scarier.
Yeah. It's one of those things where less is more.
And it really, the last 10 minutes did not fit the tone of the whole rest of the movie.
Yeah.
Cause
like stoning so much to death. That's a really cool fucking death scene.
Yes.
But the fact that we have to take for fucking ever to get there. By that time, I'm just like, I don't care. I'd rather you just put a bullet in each of them and just end it
just
there.
Be done with it. Just be done with it. Because I didn't feel anything. Because the entire time, I'm more frustrated at the end because I'm sitting here going, you guys.
Yeah,
because
you're so overly frustrated with these parents. You're like, at this point, what's happening to you is your own damn fault.
Like I just feel bad for Agnes. Well, not really, because she wants to keep going back for that stupid rabbit.
But she's a kid, but
I understand that, I know. But, because I had to say this, and this is coming from a guy who we make fun of me for quote-unquote hating kids, but no, I don't like seeing them get tortured.
Yeah.
It more left me kind of bummed out, just because...
It's just like...
You spend most of the movie frustrated because any right-minded person I know there's a suspension of disbelief.
Yeah.
But this is to like a comedic extent where it's like there is no reason you guys shouldn't have turned yesterday.
Yeah. Like, you know, maybe you know what. Danish people are just kind of super polite pushovers.
According to this movie.
Yeah. But the fact that this movie's getting an American remake already, that's coming out this year.
When did this movie come out?
2022.
And it's already getting a remake?
Being made by Blumhouse.
That definitely seems like it'd be in their wheelhouse.
So it's probably... Blumhouse is super hit or miss. And it's going to be starring James McAvoy.
I wonder which one he is. I wonder if he's Bjorn or if he's...
He has to be Patrick.
Yeah, he would have to be Patrick.
If he's the push... I can't see him playing a pushover. Yeah, it's James McAvoy and James Watkins.
Why do I know James Watkins? Why does that name sound familiar?
I don't know. James Watkins is directing it. Oh. He directed The Woman in Black and Eden Lake.
And what was the second one?
Eden Lake.
I don't know that one, but I did like Woman in Black.
Yeah. All right. It's set to be released September 13th of this year. I don't know if I'd want to watch it.
No. I mean, I know sometimes...
Knowing Blumhouse, feel like they'd probably put... It wouldn't be as boring for the first... 95%
It would really play up the thriller aspect.
Yeah. And that might be more in my wheelhouse. I don't know.
We'll have to mention when the trailer comes out.
Yeah.
Alright, so we have to give this a ranking here.
Yeah.
And we have to pick our next one.
Yeah.
Alright, now I'm again trying to be fair with my scoring here.
Yeah.
So technicals, I'd say, is probably where the highest score is.
Yeah, because it is shot pretty well.
Admittedly, it is shot pretty well.
Yeah,
it's nothing fantastic, but I still
visually, it's a good looking movie.
I still gave it a 6.7.
Yeah, I'm at a 6.5.
Okay,
so I'm right there with you, basically.
Yeah, and usually sixes aren't bad either. It's a step above average.
Yeah.
Story. I put, because I can't let my it flow into my enjoyment, make my thing for story. The story, I said 5.4.
Okay.
I said, while the material itself can be frightening, some of the decisions were a little too nonsensical. Like, well, this is also one of the things I was wondering. For Patrick and Karen, why would you wine and dine the people you're about to kill?
Some serial killers just get off on that type of stuff. It's very psychological, yeah.
Oh, because I was like, why didn't you just put two in their heads like the first night and then just do like you were going to do anyway?
But, yeah, for me, for story, I went 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
Original story with a lot of potential, but it just falls flat. They don't go about what could have been a really good story the right way for me.
And I gave it a little bit more just because, kind of like you, how you said at the end and what they said, that was the point of when they said, you let us, which basically means that was the point of the movie, is that we know that they should have left, but
yeah.
It was at what, I think this movie was pretty much for the audience to figure out where their natural gauge is.
Yeah.
So that they would be like, I would have left here.
Yeah.
So the fact I do think that they did that part well, because that was their point they were trying to get across. So that's why I gave it a couple more points.
Maybe it's just I didn't find the characters interesting either.
Well, neither did I. That's why I gave enjoyment a 4. There were scenes that were tense.
Yeah.
And the ending is harsh, and the ending is supposed to make you not feel good. But damn it, like, and I do give it credit for that. Damn, man. This movie, as much as I kid about hating kids, like I said, I don't really enjoy movies where I see them getting hurt or tortured. So,
see, for me, I gave it a 3 in enjoyment.
Mm.
You said 4?
Yeah, I said 4. Just because I do give it credit for the tense scenes and what it was, the whole point of what it was trying to do, even if I still didn't. I enjoyed certain bits of what it was trying to do. I just didn't overall enjoy it. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Oh well, I was hoping that that you were hating this too, because I was like, man, I need this to win.
Yeah. So my total was a 13 out of 30. Yours was 16.1 out of 30, for an average score of 14.5 out of 30.
Which means I snaked it. I'm still alive.
Yeah. I think that might be the largest margin of victory of any movies we've had.
And that's just because I'm really generous when it comes to my grading. I knew that you were rolling a dice when it came to psychological horror, too, because for me, psychological horror can either be really, really good or really fucking boring.
Yeah. I should have picked Last Night in Soho.
It would have had to have been one we hadn't reviewed yet.
Oh yeah, true.
I know. The more seasons we do, the harder it is.
Right.
Speaking of,
I'm gonna watch that tonight though.
But Last Night in Soho.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Oh, this is just delving into the personal lives of Body Bad Podcast for 1 second. My sister.
Yeah.
Said that she had gotten me a souvenir when she was over. Somewhere, but she didn't end up getting it, but she was about to, but then somebody snaked it from her, and it was about a foot tall, like, statuette of a weird clown that looked exactly like the Hell House clown.
Oh.
And she said it was, like, for, like, somebody was getting rid of it for, like, $4.50. I was, like, so bummed out, because that would have been so cool.
Yeah.
If you guys don't know, Hell House has been my newest horror obsession as of late.
Yeah, I'm happy I got to introduce you to that.
Yes, that No, even if Dave and I parted on horrible terms, he still left me with that gift.
Yeah.
All right, we need to spin for the next one. Thank you, Tim Robbins, for helping me snake that one out.
Still up 2-1, though.
2-1, but you know what? Even if you win all the other ones, I'd just be happy that I at least got one win.
Right.
Like, I can't just have a complete blowout. And I went ahead and deleted all of the ones that we did do, so no more respins.
All right.
Oh, for some reason it didn't save, so never mind. This one might need a reroll, because this was one of the ones I deleted it was non-horror, so it was going to be the scariest non-horror movie you've ever seen.
Oh.
I think that's a little too...
Yeah.
That's one that was going to be deleted, so I'm not going to count this as a reroll of ours.
Right.
This may take a while. This was Holiday. That was one that I deleted.
Yeah.
We already did post-apocalyptic. This one was the one that we re-rolled last time, and that was a reboot.
Oof.
So... Hey, I'm willing to keep rolling until we get to one that we haven't done or the one I didn't delete.
Roll those dice.
All right, this is one we haven't done yet. Foreign horror.
Okay,
foreign horror. Train to Busan.
You're on Train to Busan?
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Okay.
I'm pulling a Dave here.
All right.
Have you seen it?
I've seen parts of it.
I'd rather choose one that neither of us have seen, if I can think of one. But but you can pick whatever you want. Let me see if I can think of a different one. Okay. I'm going to say Ringu.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen that one.
I haven't seen the Japanese version. I've only seen the American. So Ringu. Ringu is going to be my foreign horror.
Okay.
Plus, that's also a classic. It'll be good to talk about.
Yeah.
So even if I fumble my way through an explanation... well, the point of these are the point of these are supposed to be ones that you haven't seen, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot. That was the whole point of these, is that they're supposed to be ones we both heard that you have not seen, correct?
Yeah, I mean.
All right. All right. So let me rethink then.
I haven't seen Ringu, so.
You've never seen Ringu?
No.
Oh, then I'll keep mine then.
Yeah.
Although at some point I do need to get around to watching Train to Busan.
Yeah, let's see.
See which foreign horrors have the most on Rotten Tomatoes.
No, I'm like searching for like obscure foreign horror movies that we can actually find out.
Godzilla.
Here.
From 1941 or 1950 whatever.
Yeah.
Are you just trying to dive deep into some obscure, like, asylum stuff?
No, I'm like countries you wouldn't think about.
I chose Ringu because I need another win. And I know it's relatively, at least a good movie. Plus, this has also been, the last two seasons have also been, no, it was more so last season, was a lot of you giving me some Japanese horror and...
Okay, so I'm gonna go with La La Land, a 2011 Thai horror film on Tubi.
You know what I just thought would have been a fun one for me to give you?
What
Was it the one that just came out? Godzilla Minus One. Did you see that?
Not yet. I've been meaning to watch it, but haven't gotten around to it.
Okay, so it's called La La Land.
LADDA. LAND.
Oh, I thought you said La La Land. I was like, well, I've already seen it and I like the movie, but I don't think it's a horror movie. It's a musical.
Yeah.
All right, so La La Land versus Ringu.
Yeah.
That'll be an interesting one because I know the story of Ringu, but I have not seen the Japanese version. And I sure as hell have never heard a lot of Lan.
Right.
Well, I just want to go ahead and dedicate this episode, if I may, to Mr. Timothy Robbins. Thank you very much, good sir. Thank you, Mr. Dufresne, for keeping me in this a little while longer.
Yeah. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. Have a good week.
See ya. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to Body Bag Podcast. Be sure to like and subscribe and leave us a comment as to what you'd like to hear us review or any horror movie topics you'd like to hear us rant and rave about.
And while you're at it, you can find us on Twitter at Body Bag Pod and on Instagram at Body Bag Podcast.
Thanks, and we'll see you next time.